Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
104.
You can always rely on Shama to mess it up.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are on chapter 13. We just started in the last episode. We only finished text 1 and 2. That's okay. You know, well, we're okay.
Yeah, yeah, some important topics came up. So just a quick recap. My name is Shamali.
That's a great recap,
that's
Shamali.
Great. I missed that last episode. So
the producer holds prompts in front because it's not like we've been doing this for 100 episodes and should know what happens. So sometimes we forget to say our names.
Yeah.
So he was like, names.
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Priya Darshini.
My name is Shama Sangeeta.
I actually did forget that I go in the middle.
Right.
I was waiting for you to go next.
But here's the thing. This just happens on the fly. You know what I mean?
Like,
we don't know.
It's a book club, okay?
It's a book club.
We don't like plan too much into what we are saying.
Nope. Yeah.
It's Krishna flowing through us.
And there,
hopefully.
There are some episodes where it's very evident that we're not planning what we're saying, okay?
And forgive us.
Please forgive us. For that.
Okay.
All right. Quick recap
last episode. My name is Shama.
You already said your name.
Sorry. I started it. I'm used to going
having
last.
A stroke.
I'm in robot mode.
Let's do it again. Go.
My name is Shama Sangeeta.
Did you forget your name?
I always forget my initiated name.
That's hilarious. Are you having a stroke?
We're all.
Hey, we can't joke about that.
She started it. That's awful. What happened to our friend?
Insensitive. Anyways, so, this is how we're coping. We're like trying to cope.
How we're coping.
Because it's so hard. The last 2 weeks have been so hard. And like, I think humor is how we cope with, because we can't control anything. And so everyone talked about their name, right?
We're going to do this one more time.
Okay. Wait, we already talked about our names.
Okay, sorry.
All right, quick recap of the last episode, Shamali.
All right, so last episode was super exciting. It was episode 103 as we dove into chapter 13. So as I mentioned, the Gita is divided into three different sections.
Oh my gosh, you're going to explain it again.
Okay.
I love you, but
wait, can I go really fast?
No, first, I was just going to say, had to live, had to love, had to let go. That's not that much.
It's a lot.
It's really not. No, Priya, maybe you thought I was going to do the whole long
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I really I did, Shamali.
When I said I got you, I got you.
Okay, you got me.
She got us.
I let it go.
Go ahead, Shamali.
Let me just dive into it. I've loved.
I'm letting it go.
So that was what, well, you stole my thunder. You stole my thunder. That was literally my life.
That was great. I really understood it when you said it, Priya Darshini. Thank you so much for explaining it so succinctly.
Also, now that if you check out our YouTube channel, you'll see the videos are formatted into three panels where you can see us all at the same time, which I appreciate because when I'm talking, you can't see the abuse that happens from this one next to me on screen. And now you'll be able to.
Which one is this one? We'll never know on the panels. Which one is this one? Who is she talking about?
I'm pointing to Shama.
She's pointing to Shama. I'm an angel.
Shama Sangeeta, if you need help, blink one.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Oh, this Anyways, episode's starting so good.
Quick recap. Very quick recap of the last episode. Shamali.
Chapter 13 is all about nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. Because as Priya said, it's divided into how to live, the first six chapters. Middle six, how to love. It's all about devotional service. And this last six that we're starting on now is how to let go. We have all these attachments in this world, but okay, what do we do from there? So Krishna's really breaking down further. What is the playing field? And we talked all about the field. Ladies, what is the field?
The body.
Boom, shakalaka.
Boom, boom, boom.
And we are the knower of the field. So it's really emphasizing again the distinction between our true selves. What is our true selves?
The soul.
And the body.
Yeah. So the knower of the field is the soul.
Exactly. The knower of the field and the body. And it starts wrapping up that, we can obviously see the transition from childhood, boyhood, youth, old age. So that just shows you our body is constantly undergoing so many changes. So there's a difference between the knower of the field of activities and the actual field of activities. It's a very convoluted way to say the body versus the soul, right? And
I was going to say, and convoluted on purpose because it's explaining that why we get this field because of the senses that we want to explore and our desires and all of that. And then we touched upon death for a second. Mm-hmm. Birth and death, like how we get these bodies, the senses and the percentages of them. And,
right.
And the reality of death.
Death.
Yep. And before we dive more into that, because I am curious about a story you started telling, but do we want to, the ending of the purport, we can wrap it up quickly. Prabhupada kind of gives a big overall summary of the themes from each six chapters. Do we want to do that or not? Nah? We can do one sentence of each. He says the first six chapters of the Gita are about the knower of the body, the living entity, the position we can know the Supreme Lord. The middle six chapters of the Gita are the personality of Godhead and the relationship with the individual soul. So we've talked about that. That's devotional service.
How to love.
How to love. Our relationship to Krishna. Exactly. And now we're starting the 13th chapter on how the living entity, us, how do we come into contact with material nature and how we're delivered from there by the Supreme Lord through different modes of activities, cultivation of knowledge. And he goes a whole checklist that I'm not even going to read because we're also going to dive into it in chapter 13.
But can I make fun of Shama real quick?
Yes, please. You can make fun of Shama. Go for it. That's my favorite.
That's really cute. You were saying like the first six, the second six, and now we're on the third, the third set. And she goes,
she starts coughing. I forget that we have a camera now. Usually we don't have a camera.
What number are we?
I was like 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's the last six chapters.
Also, when I wanted to do the recap and you said you understood, you didn't understand squat.
Live, laugh, love. That's what we got.
Close.
That was very live, close. Love, let go.
Boom. You got it. Very nice.
So first six,
we should turn that into decor.
Anywho.
We should, which we do have merch, eh?
We do have merch.
Well,
also.
No, we don't have merch.
We don't have
merch.
We
have gifts for our donors.
There we go. We need Priya to keep us on track.
So if you love this podcast, probably not this episode, but if you love this podcast and you want to donate to help us just manage the expenses of this podcast.
Yes.
If you donate $108 to our GoFundMe, which you can find a link on bio on Instagram, we will give you a Modern Yogi beanie or hat.
Yes. Yeah. And to clear up, we will eventually have merch and it will be different than the thing that we're giving now for donors. So it's a special gift you're getting.
Limited time offer for our donors.
Limited time offer.
We will eventually have merch, but we're not quite there yet.
This is the limited time offer. You see? How cute. Modern Yogi Podcast.
Okay, also look at this beanie. I'm going to talk while...
Okay, guys.
Okay, all right. Why
do we do? We don't know how to handle cameras.
We used to have YouTube channels, both of us, so we're always like, hey, what's up? Oh my God. So sorry.
It's really weird. When we're having cameras, it's so weird. So like, just know that we're a book club and that we're not used to like all of this technology and stuff.
Yeah.
We're friends who wanted to start a book club and we're all really awkward. And so as you can tell at the beginning of this episode. Anyways, anything else?
If you want to hear my story, I'll tell it very quick.
Sure.
The reason I brought this story up is because we were talking about death and astrology.
Yes.
And how basically I questioned a lot of things because of the death of our friend. And one thing that I was thinking was like, is death really just predetermined? And we were talking about desires and like all of the things, right? And it's like, if, you know, when you do your astrology, sometimes depending on the astrologer, they'll tell you like, oh, you're likely to die at this certain age or that or this or that. And I was wondering about like our friend who died so young and like, I mean, was he ever told? Like, was like, maybe they, I don't know. Anyways, it's just a lot of thoughts. And sorry, we were talking about that. And as a group, a few people were there after the funeral. And one of our friends said, actually, it's all depending on Krishna consciousness because my father was told he was supposed to die before he had me. But he got very serious with this Krishna consciousness and made it like his whole endeavor to really be a devotee of Krishna. And he was in a car accident in he was alone in his car and he just happened to kind of swerve out of the way. And I don't know if the number is correct, but I believe he said 23 people around him died, but he did not. And so, and that was around the time when he was supposed to pass away according to astrology and all of that. And he had already kind of made changes in his life to really take Krishna consciousness really seriously. And so I was like, oh my God. So interesting and fascinating. Really, Krishna is, you know, Krishna is full of mercy and he really loves his devotees. And
that's amazing.
That got me so excited because like literally Krishna can change our karma. If we're in this process of devotional service, literally our karma can change. And
totally.
For most, like 99.9% of the people in this world who are maybe 90% who are not doing this, like that karma is so definitive. It's so finite. That karma doesn't change. Your chart doesn't change.
Yes.
But if you're a devotee, Krishna can change your karma. And I love that.
Yeah. It was just like it was a really beautiful moment of remembering, right? The purpose. Because sometimes in death, we think, what is life? What is everything? Or is it just predestined? We don't have a choice. Like, is it, you know, like a lot of questions come to mind, but we know the philosophy and that was kind of a great example to remind us of that.
Yeah.
That Krishna is the answer at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the story.
Thank you so much. And really I think we can start the invocation, please, ladies.
That was so funny. Thank you so much.
And, moving on.
Wrap it up.
Invocation. All right.
Om Jnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Look at me being the only one that reads for two episodes in a row.
Oh yeah, we didn't get very far in the last episode.
Okay, let's do this. Text 3. O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower, it's called knowledge. Hmm. That is my opinion.
Okay, one more time.
O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower, it's called knowledge. That is my opinion.
And you said something really cute also about that last part.
I was like, what do you mean, Krishna? What do you mean that's your opinion? You know everything. Like, why would you say it like that? Why would you not be like, this is fact? Right. He's like, no, it's my opinion.
He's being so humble.
Yeah. It's like, it's like when a parent tells you, like, you should do this, and they know it's the right way, but it's like, eh. That's just my humble opinion. Do what you want.
Yeah.
They already know what the right thing to do is.
Yeah.
I love the humility though.
So sweet. Yeah. But also kind of funny.
Mm.
Because we know.
So is Krishna saying, okay, so Krishna is saying to Arjuna, like, I am also the knower in all bodies, meaning like I am the super soul within us.
Yeah, it's so cool. Exactly. It says here, in every body, there are two souls. The individual soul and the super soul.
Mm.
We've talked about this before because we've talked about, like, we have our soul and Krishna's right next to it, next to our heart, right?
So there's two souls in the heart.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Our soul and Krishna.
Yep.
Yeah, we've said it like with the sparkle was our little cute term for it. One sparkle and another sparkle.
Mr. Sparkle.
And it's interesting, whenever we, Prabhupada in this purport and the one before, the first sentence he's laying out, what are the materials that we're talking about? So he says, while discussing the subject of the body, the knower of the body, and the soul and the super soul, there are three different topics of study. So he lists like almost like the curriculum. We will be talking about A, the Lord, B, the living entity, and C, matter.
And so the second part of this verse is, and to understand this body and its knower, the knower is the soul, right? So to understand the body and the soul is knowledge.
Yeah. So which answers Arjuna's question to begin with, because Arjuna was saying, like, can you tell me about the field, the knower of the field, which we check its body and soul, and then tell me about knowledge and the object of knowledge. So Krishna is saying, well, knowledge is understanding, right?
Yep,
this body and the soul, that is called knowledge.
Right. Ah, so okay, so TLDR.
Wait, TLDR. What's that mean?
Too long didn't read, right? If you haven't paid attention, right? Because this can be very convoluted, right? So essentially, Krishna is saying that true knowledge is understanding the body and the soul.
Correct. Yes.
Boom.
Isn't that what she just said? How's that?
That's okay. It's okay to say.
No, you know what? You connected it to the last the last text, which made it maybe feel more convoluted. Because as you were talking, I also thought, wow, Priya, that's a great, like, because the text, we forget, is a conversation.
It's all continuous.
Yeah. So yeah, Shama, you said the boom, the nugget, but it's true. It's answering. I didn't even think about that in this moment.
Answering
it's,
Arjuna's original question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because his question, so Arjuna wants to know about a bunch of different things. And so far we've covered three.
Yeah.
Right? We've covered the field, the body, which is the body. The knower of the field, which is the soul, and knowledge. But then there's more. There's also prakriti and purusha and the object of knowledge. And so right now in this text, we just answered knowledge. And so I think we're going to continue answering Arjuna's question as we go on. It's not like...
And that's one thing that I want to connect it to the topic. We talked about death a lot. And it's so interesting because how many times in the Gita has Prabhupada said, we're not these bodies. We're not these bodies. Mm-hmm. We have a body, but we're a soul, to the point where you think, I get it. But then we talked about this last episode that when death finally happens, which what is death? We're leaving this body, which it's not even us. And the soul continues on its journey. Really, one might think of it as a glorious thing. You're getting closer to the Lord, but it's so shocking to us who are left behind mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's just, we're not used to it. We're not thinking about it in a real way that it's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah, totally. And so I think Prabhupada goes on to say, talk about this idea of two souls, right? Us mm-hmm. and Krishna. And yeah. he talks about how specifically the individual, so us, mm-hmm. may be the knower of his own body. We might understand how our body functions, what we're thinking, right. what we're feeling, yep. our senses, our desires, and all of that. But we are not the knowledge of other bodies, right?
Right.
And I think I told this story a long time ago when I was really young, I was playing Barbies. And I remember thinking like the same way that I am controlling these Barbies' lives is someone controlling me. Mm. Like there's more, it's not just life through my eyes, but there's something beyond that there's more to perceive, right? And so I think Prabhupada here is saying, you yourself know your body, but even better than that, Krishna knows your body. But even better than that, Krishna knows everybody.
Totally, ooh, totally.
Wow.
And Krishna gives himself, with what you said, Priya, Krishna says, so I am the super knower. You might be the individual knower of your field, your body, but I am the super knower, present in everyone as the super soul.
So according to this, Krishna is in charge of all the Barbies.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I just had to say that.
And if you think it's crazy to think Krishna can exist as a super soul in everyone, I mean, how crazy is it that the cosmos are floating up with this thing called gravity? Like the creation is incredible when you just start thinking about it. So why couldn't Krishna, who's all powerful, exist in everyone's heart?
So question then, when we die, our soul leaves our body, right? And goes to another destination. But what happens to the Krishna inside of us? Is that attached to the soul?
Well, I mean, Krishna's everywhere. So, I mean, he is.
He is.
In every particle of
but
every...
But where does he go?
Wherever he wants.
I'm sure there's an answer, which I'm not remembering at this moment, but I'm sure, just like we had a whole chapter two on the constitution of our soul, I'm sure if we don't get to a here, it'll be somewhere that answers that.
Okay.
Maybe.
Stay tuned, right?
Stay tuned, because that's a great question.
What if it's like that the super soul... like you're saying, maybe attached is the right word, but comes along to where that soul's going next. So like it's going to another body. Mm-hmm. So that super soul's like, I'm your buddy. We're going together. Like Krishna's always with you.
Well, and it's the same Krishna.
With
you. I'm sure it'll say that in the breakdown. When you know how they say the things that we carry over in the subtle body to the next, like the subtle body is what travels to the next birth. So I'm sure when they break down what is even the subtle body is our mind, ego, intellect, intelligence, all that. Is that also going to come? I'm sure in that section, I don't remember if it's here or where, but it'll talk about that. Like what happens to the super soul? Will it come along or not? That's the beautiful thing. Bhakti, the philosophy is so in depth that there will never be a question that you have to be like, just whatever, you know, have faith. It's like so in depth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Nice. Okay. So I think a sweet reminder is when they talk about the body, Prabhupada says the body consists of the senses. And as we remember, a name of Krishna is Rishikesh, which means the controller of the senses. So our soul is eternal, perfect, full of knowledge and bliss. But whenever it's covered over by our body and conditioning from life after life, we can pray to Lord Rishikesh to help us control the senses, grab the reins. Don't let the horses of the senses run wild. Mm.
Krishna also says, I am also the knower, which means he is, and Prabhupada says, this means that he is the super knower.
Yeah.
The individual soul knows only the particular body. We only know ours, but Krishna is the super knower. Mm. I love that.
Beautiful.
Sounds like supernova for some reason in my brain.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Maybe
also.
That's where
like
it comes
super
from.
Moon, supernova, super but you know what? Do you know the super knower?
Yeah. In this purport, Prabhupada also talks a little bit about prakriti, and which the English word for prakriti is nature. And we were talking about this offline, and I was saying, like, what does it mean by that? And actually, Prabhupada answers that question himself. He says, this material world, which is the field of activities, is nature.
So prakriti is material nature?
Yep.
This world.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
This world, the other worlds, all the worlds around, the universe.
This world... Mm. this world. Okay, all the worlds. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so that's a further understanding of Prakriti, which I'm sure Krishna will go into it also.
Mm-hmm.
But here we get to get more information about that.
And we've already talked about right above the part I see Prakriti, I see Jnana. And we've talked about Jnana as knowledge, but Prabhupada in this context says perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and then the third factor, the constitution of the super soul, is known in terms of Vedic literature as Jnana. So he's elaborating more specifically. Jnana is knowledge, but what is knowledge? Knowledge of those three factors and how they relate.
That's cool. Yeah, like kind of the same thing we were saying before about like, what is knowledge in terms of what Krishna was saying, right?
Right,
it was like,
right.
It's, what did you say, Shama? It was like, our bodies are souls and the super soul in a sense, right? Like
right.
The understanding of those three things is knowledge. So I think it's using the word Jnana in this case, but it's the same knowledge.
And you know what's so interesting? It's like, I know that we have beat this topic to death and we've talked about body, soul, body, soul, body, soul. But like, I think when we truly, truly understand like that difference, right? Like even the last 2 weeks with our friend who passed away, like I remember like being there in the hospital room like an hour after he passed away and his body was there. I could see it. I could touch it. And like literally something had left, meaning the soul had left. And that was like the most shocking reminder of like we are not this body. We are the soul. And like literally it stares you in the eye and you're like, oh my God, Krishna's philosophy is so real. Like this is so real. And so if once you understand this difference between body and soul, that is like true knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
And understanding the temporary nature of this body.
Right. Yeah. Prabhupada uses a nice little metaphor because right above the metaphor, he says, okay, so we know we have to understand Prakriti. As we said, that's nature. Purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishvara, the knower who dominates or controls nature and the individual soul. So we shouldn't confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. And I love that example. He said this material world, which is the field of activities, is nature. And the enjoyer of nature is the living entity. And above them both is the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead.
Wait, so with your example of the painting, the painter, and the easel, what would each thing be?
Shama Sangeeta?
The easel, let's talk about this. Okay. The easel is nature?
I think so too.
Material nature, right? And then the painting... Mm.
Oh, wait, maybe painting is nature.
Because what is the function? The painter is the person who creates, who is the creator, the creation.
That's Ishvara.
We know the painter is Krishna, right?
The painter
so
is Krishna.
One is eliminated, right? So like we definitely know.
The painting is us because we are, we're
right?
created by.
Yeah, the painter creates us.
Mm.
So we are the painting.
And the easel's material nature.
Yes.
That's the platform that we can enact. That's the field.
Oh. Okay, so one more time. So
the painter.
The painter is Krishna, right? We are the painting.
Thing.
And the easel is the material world that we're in.
Is it in the material world or our material bodies or both?
Wait, read the sentence again, Shama.
Okay. So the sentence right above is...
I'm looking for it.
We have to understand the position of Prakriti, nature. Nature. Purusha, the enjoyer of nature.
That's us.
That's us. Mm-hmm. And Prakriti is nature. Purusha, us. And Ishvara.
Krishna.
So Ishvara would be the painter. Krishna is the painter.
But wait, can you read the English sentence? The one that's
Yes. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. Painter, painting.
Okay, so those
easel.
Three equal those three. So
exactly.
Krishna is Ishvara, who is the painter.
Purusha is the enjoyer of nature. We're the painting. So
yep,
the painter paints the painting on the easel of Prakriti, which
material
is nature. Boom.
Yeah, we nailed it.
We nailed it.
I think we did.
Was great.
Stuck the landing. Beautiful.
Stuck the landing.
Yeah. Okay.
Amazing.
Wow.
Okay. I love it. And
so,
then.
So if you had to not look at the book,
okay,
what did you just learn on this text?
Ooh, and explain it. Okay. So essentially.
Shama, don't look at the book.
Oh, no, I was looking at the text because I was like, okay, what was the text again?
Yeah, I know the purport. I was thinking the same thing.
So if you
let's read the text and then we
ahead.
Can.
Read the text. Read the text.
O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower, it's called knowledge. That is my opinion.
And Prabhupada starts the purport, piecing it all together, that he says, in this subject, he gave us the syllabus. We're going to be talking about the body, the knower of the body, and then the soul and the super soul.
Yeah, we already... So what did you understand without reading the book?
Go for it.
Okay. She's
okay.
talking to you.
All right. So So perfect. Okay, so God.
Yes.
God, Krishna.
Yeah.
Decides he wants to sit down and do a painting.
Okay, okay? Beautiful. It's like afternoon, he gets his tea.
Let her
set the scene.
I'm so sorry.
No, this is good. He has a little peppermint tea. he's wearing his comfy Sunday afternoon pants.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now she got me on this whole thing. Now I want to set the scene.
Let's focus.
Okay, so Krishna has his peppermint tea.
Yes.
He's sitting down. It's a Sunday afternoon.
Wrap it up in your terms.
Okay. I don't talk as much as you on this podcast. Okay, relax. Okay, so he's got his Sunday afternoon, and then he decides he wants to make a painting. We are that painting that he creates.
Yes.
So Krishna creates us, right?
Yes.
And in the capacity of the easel, which is material nature.
Yes.
And that is where we exist because the painting exists inside the easel.
And so
we exist inside this material world.
Mm-hmm.
And who's in charge of the easel and the painting? God is.
The painter. Very nice. What do you get, Shyamali?
No, I'm just going to add on that because I like how she said we exist within the painting and our goal then is to get out of the painting and we want to be there with Sunday tea with Krishna, like in the spiritual realm. So we want to not live in a painting, but we want to live in reality. So the whole goal of all this is so we can escape the pseudo reality, the dream that is this material nature and jump into eternal existence with
The painter.
Nice. There we go.
All right. What I got was that there's two souls, the super soul and us.
Yes.
And Krishna knows what you're experiencing and he knows what everyone's experiencing. Therefore, he's the super knower.
I love it. Supernova.
Supernova. Yes. Okay. So, all right.
I think we got this. Yeah.
Yep.
There's one last part that Prabhupada makes it a little more.
Is it too complex or is it?
It's the part about the three Brahman conceptions.
Yeah, I don't think. I think it's just.
It's more of the same. He's explaining the same in different ways of how to conceptualize those three. So yeah, you're right.
I mean, you can't say it. I just feel like we summarized the gist of the text in a way that helps understand. We might get more convoluted and confused.
So anything else on this purport then?
I think that's it. Should we read text 4?
Oh my God, text 4. We've made it to another one. Okay. Now Krishna is speaking. Krishna says, now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are. I don't know what you're reading.
No, that's amazing. Read it one more time, but stop at every comma.
Okay, God. Okay, I'm just trying. There were so many commas.
Yeah,
okay.
The text lost.
Krishna says, now please hear my brief description of this field of activity.
Okay, let's stop there. Okay. Field of activity is body.
Body.
So please hear my description of this body.
Mm-hmm. And how it is constituted.
Okay.
What's it made out of?
Correct.
What its changes are.
How it changes.
What are the changes of the body? Whence it is produced.
That's a great word.
Whence. So like how did the body come to be?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Who that knower of the field of activities is.
The soul.
The soul.
And what his influences are.
The senses. Potentially.
Oh.
Potentially.
Oh, that's
potentially.
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Influences.
Yeah.
Ah.
Wow. Did you know the word for influence?
What's it?
In Sanskrit?
It's Prabhava.
Prabhava.
Oh, wow. Of course. Prabhava.
Okay.
I thought Shyamali might like that.
Wow.
That's a great word.
It's a great word.
Anyway.
Stop.
Anything on this purport, ladies?
I think we just read it. The Lord is describing the field of activities. Oh my God, not again. The knower of the field of activities and their constitutional position. Okay, I'm just going to read that in like plain English, okay?
Yeah.
The Lord is describing the body, the soul, and its constitutional position.
Mm.
One has to know how the body is made, what materials, the materials in which the body is made, under whose control the body is working, how the changes are taking place, where from the changes are from, what the causes are, okay, what the reasons are, what the ultimate goal of the individual soul is, and what the actual form of the individual is. So basically, they're just saying, we're going to explain to you, Krishna, your soul, your body, what your purpose is. This is actually like a pretty good summary of what the Bhagavad Gita does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true. That was pretty concise.
So Krishna is literally saying what he's going to talk about next.
Yeah.
Right?
He's just like, let me tell you, I'm about to tell you a great story about this, 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 and that. Now let me tell you.
Okay, cool.
And Prabhupada gives a helpful, like, we should never confuse Krishna's soul in our body with our individual soul. He says, because, you know, one is superior than the other. So it's
how
never.
How do we confuse it?
I don't even know.
No, but just knowing that, like, oh, it's like, it's oh, like one soul in the body. That's confusing. I mean, and it's wrong. There's actually two souls in our body.
Oh. Because one might hear two souls, like, oh, same, two sparkles, they're the same. Two souls. No, one's Krishna. One's like, potent, full of everything. Mm. And the other one's us. Mm. And we're like minute in comparison. So
gotcha.
Like, let's not get confused.
My brain was like, how would I confuse them? I can't even see them. Oh, no. My brain did not go where you guys went.
And to be honest, before I even started reading this book, I didn't even like truly understand this concept of two souls in my body. Right. And so I think that is very like new. And even in like Abrahamic religions, right? Some of them believe in a soul and they believe in that one soul.
Yeah.
Whereas like Prabhupada is really talking about, hey, there's two and they're very different.
Yeah, that makes sense. Krishna is superior and we are subservient and there's two souls. That makes sense, actually. Yeah. That's really cool. I actually never thought about us having two souls per se.
I know, right?
I always thought about one soul and then Krishna.
Same.
So I guess like my brain was already thinking that's superior and that's its own, you know, greater thing because Krishna is greater than who I am. That's just two things. Right. But I never thought of Krishna as a soul, even though he's the super soul. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Soul and super soul. Yeah.
Because same. And I wonder if it has something to do with like, you know, we both grew up in it. So when you're explaining things to a little kid, maybe to keep things
simple
and like no confusion. Like Shama, did you ever think of it as two souls?
No. I didn't learn that until recently.
Most people maybe don't think of it that way.
Yeah, for sure. That's so fascinating. Okay. Should we do text 5?
Oh, Shamali.
Oh, I'm so prepared and highlighted with text 5.
Nice.
Let's do it.
We got this.
Okay. Who is speaking?
Krishna
still. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially present in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect.
Cool. So he's like, not only am I about to tell you what I'm about to talk about, but it's also like other people have, it's like something that has been described by many people over many times in particular Vedic writings. Like he's kind of like,
he's giving us like the receipts.
Like, you know how like when you write a paper, you have to write where you got the information from?
Yes.
That's what Krishna's doing. He's like, I'm about I gave you the index. Now I'm giving you my sources.
Yes.
Then I'm going to tell you the story.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's kind of like it's humble where he's like, okay, Krishna can easily in a conversation be like, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. But then if you're ever in a conversation with a friend and they're like just spitting facts at you and, you know, and they think that they know it all, you have a certain weirdness about it, right? But Krishna is literally like, he's like, this is my opinion. These are my sources. Like he's being very humble with giving this information. And I really, that's really beautiful.
Yeah,
for sure.
Basically, Prabhupada starts in the purport saying, Krishna is explaining this most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the super soul by referencing many different scriptures or receipts, as you said, Shama. Mm-hmm. Now, why would he say it's the most controversial point? I guess,
I think maybe other philosophies might perceive it differently and that maybe make it controversial.
Right. Maybe they... Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe there's many different ways to interpret it. Some people think we're all one. When we die, we merge into this big oneness. So, it's maybe controversial in comparison to other interpretations of it. But we're trying to really say, no, this is the way to interpret this scripture. And Krishna's really emphasizing. He puts different quotes of like Vyasadeva's father who writes about... All of us living entities, we're all transcendental, although we're trapped in these material bodies. And now we've fallen into these three modes of material nature according to our different karma, which we talked about a lot in last episode. Some are at higher levels, some have a lower nature. And we are in ignorance to our true infinite spiritual nature. So we're trying to reawaken that eternal spiritual nature.
Mm. Yeah. I find it fascinating that Prabhupada is also citing different Upanishads and Vedas. And to me, actually, it's always been very confusing. Like, it's like a an abstract concept? Like, yes, I understand these right. are knowledge, but is it like one book? Is it 10 books? Is it like mm. is it parts of a book? Mm. Like, I don't really understand it like literally. And I was wondering if our Sanskrit scholar, also producer, also my husband,
wants to give a little,
wants to help me understand what Vedanta Sutra means mm. to be more specific. And then you can also speak on it in a general sense about like the Upanishads. Cause here he's bringing up Katha Upanishad, like, Taittiriya Upanishad.
Right.
There's a few mentions of different, you know, Brahma Sutra. This is a bunch of different scriptural
yes.
right.
places or, right. you know, bodies. So I just, if you wanted to give us whatever yeah, you have.
Sure. So we think of the Vedas as the scriptures of the Hindu religion, right. but actually it's a very limited set of books. There are actually three Vedas, and then the fourth one was added on. And those are called the Vedas, the Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Vedas. So mm-hmm. everything else, like all the other spiritual books, are not technically Vedas. They are additions to the Vedas. Mm. So Vedanta means like the final summary of the Vedas. And Sutra means like a string. So it's like decorating a string of summaries on the knowledge, because the Vedas are very dense. So Vedanta mm. Sutra is a commentary on the Vedas.
Oh.
And other sutras are other commentaries as well.
Oh, mm. so all the sutras are different commentaries on the Vedic literature. So all the Vedas.
Yes. The mm. core three or four Vedas are, you know, the original books, and then everything else comes. So Mahabharata is not the Vedas. It's additional.
Right.
Upanishads, Gita is also sometimes called Gita Upanishad. Mm. So Bhagavad Gita is an additional.
Would it be a sutra? Would the Bhagavad Gita be a sutra? Or no, that's a whole different thing.
No. Sutra is like a commentary by a scholarly. Oh,
this is not a commentary. It's just an additional piece of information. Like, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita referencing like Arjuna and Krishna having a conversation, and then that was written down. So that's a whole right. other thing to
yeah,
the Vedas.
You can think of it as what are the Vedas? They were the when the universe was created, Brahma sat down on the lotus and he knew nothing. And so we had to download the operating system. And the first, the core operating system that he downloaded was the Vedas.
And where did it come from?
From Vishnu.
Himself.
So, so, you know, Vishnu downloaded into Brahma. And then after that, everything else came separately. So the core download is the Vedas.
And isn't, they mentioned Vyasadeva, isn't he known as the father of the Vedas, right? He wrote the Vedas, Veda Vyas?
Well, he's known for writing them down.
Right.
But right. The Vedas are technically Shabda or sound. So they were always passed through sound. The act of writing is something more modern that... Back in the day, people would just remember things. They didn't need it written.
Wow.
I think, Abhijit, that's an important distinction you just made, because someone, when they hear, oh, a human being wrote this down, no, this is actually, you're differentiating between the act of this divine knowledge being passed down transcendentally versus the act of writing. It doesn't mean he's the author of this.
Yeah, he didn't write them down. I mean, he was like a ghostwriter. Yeah.
Exactly. He's a ghostwriter. He's the one that composed it. And then
he did compose his own additional things, like he composed the Mahabharata, he composed the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
But he didn't compose the Vedas, he just uttered them and Ganesh wrote them down.
Right.
Oh my God, Ganesh was the ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Not technically.
He
was
Lord
like the,
Ganesh,
the
medium.
The tape machine.
Right.
I don't know.
And I think, and maybe you can add on, isn't it, he was feeling dissatisfied, right? After doing the act of writing all of these vast literatures, which many people might feel like, wow, you have a vast body of work that you have transcribed. You should feel so proud, right? But then at the end of his life, didn't he feel unhappy? And that's when his spiritual master, Narada Muni, said, because many people, when they study the Vedas, they might miss the point of it, which is bhakti, right? And get confused by what is the whole point of the Vedas.
Yeah, more or less all of the other Vedas have mixed moods. There's right. some bhakti there, of course, in many of the Vedas, but then there's also other things like karma and economic gain and all sorts
really,
of things.
It's meant to be like a literature for every aspect of life,
yes.
not necessarily for spiritual life alone,
right?
Which is why we take parts and of it and to understand spiritual life particularly.
That's right. So that's why Vedavyasa or Vyasadeva was not satisfied, because he wanted something that was purely about bhakti.
Right.
And so he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is purely about bhakti. Another name for the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the Amala Purana, which means the undirtied Purana. It's not dirty in any way. Like, it only has...
It's pure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Pure is another way to say it. Yeah.
Very sweet.
Wow, I just learned so much. I just learned so much in that little tidbit, because I'm happy that we have a Sanskrit scholar
as our
producer.
Can you believe that's my husband?
That's your husband.
That's my husband.
Dude, that's your husband.
That's pretty amazing.
And that's our producer.
Yeah.
Husband That's awesome. And producer.
And also, like, he had no idea we were just going to pull him in to say all of that. Like, this was not something we talked about beforehand. I was just like, I'm pretty sure he knows this.
He just has that knowledge in his back pocket.
Yeah, he
And I want to highlight the last thing he said shows the importance of bhakti, you know, because Vedavyas could have felt content after, I mean, what an accomplished writer. He could have felt accomplished, but he didn't, because he felt like there's something more there. So his spiritual master described him what was maybe the source of his anxiety, and he wrote the creme de la creme, which is all these spiritual texts that transmit bhakti or love of Krishna. It's all about love.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's so amazing.
Anything else on the purport before we wrap up?
I mean, just what did we just read? That was it.
Yeah.
No, just Krishna putting his sources down.
He's citing his sources.
Yep. The scriptures talk about this.
It's not just me.
Even though I'm the source of everything, but like, you know, in case you were wondering, I cite my sources.
Right. I love that. Very
humble. If you're curious to yourself read all the sources, you can follow along with the Bhagavad Gita and go to text 5, chapter 13.
Yeah. Also, if you're interested in learning about the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's also with some of the sages, there's also the books themselves. Mm. There's vedavyasa.io if you want to like just look through the Srimad Bhagavatam yourself. There's so many, so many wonderful spiritual books. Written by him.
Love it. Join us next time for chapter 13, text number 6.
See you next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.